Because sometimes you can do things when you are young that you regret later on. And let me just put this plug in. The things that you're putting out on the internet, for those of you that have ears to hear, better make sure it's something later on that won't come back and be a powder keg in your life. Be mindful of what you're putting out in what we call cyberspace, because it has a way of coming back. It has a way of coming back that you don't even know the consequences of. So that was free, because that's my expertise. That's free. All right, let's go to Acts. Acts 7. And I'm going to paint this picture for you of fruitfulness. But let me give you my title. That's the one thing I haven't done. Y'all so nice. Y'all very nice. This is my title, Fruitfulness. God wants to cut you. Fruitfulness. Not wants to, wants to. Cut you. I grew up in one of those towns, real small town in Ohio, and folks were known for, they were known for cutting folks. I'll cut them. So that's where I get it from. God wants to cut you. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed, washed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't carry no knife, y'all. All I carry ink pens, okay? I want to start at verse 59. No, let's start at 57. Let's go up a little bit. I'm going to paint the picture. This is Stephen. There's Stephen is giving an address about an accusation came against Stephen. And this is Stephen. He's gone through all that he knows. But then it says in verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Go on down to chapter 8, verse 1. Now who was consenting? Saul was consenting to his death, to Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for who?
Saul.
He made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Saul, but I got some other people. See, God was setting up the church to some degree. Because if you go back in the first part of the book of Acts, he told them that they were going to be witnesses and that they were going to be spread out. They weren't going to all be in one place. And at this time, they're in one place. And so when persecution came, guess what? Everybody had to cut and run. But when they went through this cutting and this running, guess what they had with them? They had the gospel. So that when that persecution came, even though Stephen went to be with the Lord, the church was launched into a place of fruitfulness. Now, fruitfulness don't always look like fruitfulness when you see it. Sometimes it looks like trouble. Sometimes it looks like a job layoff. Sometimes it looks like a transition in my life. So when God is endeavoring to move us and to get us to one place, it don't look like God is going to get any fruit out of it. Sometimes we don't even see what the result of that thing is. Yet I'm here to tell you that when God's pruning marks are on you, you will shift into that place he wants you to shift in. And the one thing that God was asking, and he's asking not only of the early church, and he's asking of us this day, is obedience. And the school of obedience is really an interesting school, because it's not a natural school, y'all. It's a spiritual school. And what happens when you get into this spiritual school? The Holy Spirit starts to check your motives. Why are you doing the things you do? Why are you thinking the thoughts you think? What is the underlying motives? What are the motives of your heart? Because the Word of God says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who could know it? You don't know what's in your heart till somebody hit that thing that God's been pruning, and all of a sudden they hit that thing. Boom. You didn't even know it was in you. He's not fazed by none of that stuff. Because he knows that he's trying to endeavor to get that old stuff out of you. And sometimes the old stuff don't come out unless there's a fire or some pressure. It don't come out all by itself. It comes out kicking. I don't want to go. Oh, you've been so good to me. Oh, I love you. Some things don't die easily, but they will die. So we got this man named Saul. God was setting him up because Saul was an educated man, but God was going to prune him, even in the midst of him persecuting the church, because God had an encounter for him called the Damascus Road. And he was on fire. Because he was maligning the way. But when the Lord met him on that Damascus road, he said, "Saul, Saul, why are thou persecuting me?" "Who, Lord? Who are you?" "Jesus." Because when Saul persecuted the church, he was really persecuting Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're that Word made flesh, dwelling in earthen vessels. We're that church. And so, Lord, what do I need to do? God was cutting away. What was he cutting away at? His intelligence, his religious tradition, all the things that Paul later would say was dung, all those things that would keep him from being effective, to keep him from being the apostle that was going to write most of the New Testament. God was starting to prune. Boom, boom, boom. And every place Paul went, because God told him he was going to the Gentiles, but where did he go first? He went to the Jews. So when you go to the wrong set of people, they got some big loppers called pruning shears. And they'll start to cut at you. They'll start to malign you. They'll start to challenge you. Why? Because you have the wrong audience. And what God is doing, even in making them cuts, is he's endeavoring to get you to the right audience, to the right set of people. Because God knew each of us before the foundation of the world. So he wants to cut you. So what does a cut look like? A cut looks like, sometimes it looks like Joseph's coat. Coat of many colors, because it marked him as his father's favorite. It didn't mark him as God's favorite. So that coat had to go. And all that went with that coat was an immaturity. God was after that. Sometimes it looks like what we just said about Saul, his intellect. That logic that kept the religious tradition that was on the inside of him, God was pruning him. So let's go on back to this story. So many times, God is after not only obedience, but he's after us to take dominion. So go to Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Because there was an original mandate, even though we're in the New Testament time, God still had a mandate from Genesis 1, 27 and 28. I'll wait for everybody to get there.